Við skulum ekki vakum til marnætur. Það margt sem myrkrið veit, minn hugur þungur.
Welcome to Eerie Iceland. Whether you're captivated by folklore, paranormal, sorcery, the hidden people, haunted things, people or locations in Iceland, you've come to the right place. Here, you'll venture into the dark side of Iceland. I'm Anne.
I'm Vanessa. We're two girl bosses who are obsessed with all of these things. Will you dare to follow us into this unexplainable realm?
Okay, this is gonna sound like a plug. Like I'm using this as a plug to like make you guys like us more or something because I'm like trying to make it spooky and eerie. But I swear to God, this happened. Like it's so weird. Like, okay, maybe it's ADHD and maybe like I don't remember doing this myself.
No, it happened.
Okay.
I was here.
Okay, so
I
what
didn't leave the room, unlike you did.
We recorded a podcast and like I had that podcast like up to like follow. And then I go to the bathroom and I come back and I'm like, oh, like we're doing your next story. I thought we were doing mine. And Anne goes, what are you talking about? Like we are doing your story. And I was like, then why did you put your story on my screen? And she's like, I've been sitting here the whole time. Like if I stand up, like my seat's warm. Like I haven't gotten up. And I'm like,
yeah, because I was enjoying a glass of champagne. I wasn't fucking moving my ass.
No, but I was like, but how is your story on my screen? Like, I didn't put it there. It was, and like, I don't know.
Maybe. And then the door, while we've been in this room, has like shook a little bit here and there where it sounds like someone's knocking and like fucking with us. But then we go to the window and like, there's no one there.
Yeah. And I've heard like on other like paranormal podcasts and stuff that like when you like do research on these things, you kind of like open a portal.
Shut up.
I have heard
I didn't
that.
Sign up for the, I didn't sign up
I
for any
know.
Portal games.
I know. And like, I never like, I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like this is someone like using a plug in their show to like make it more interesting. And like, I swear to God, I'm the worst liar. Like seriously, don't
she
ever
is.
Play poker with me.
Or,
like,
she is.
Because
she
I'll be like.
Every time.
No, I didn't do that. Like it's obvious when I lie. So I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So.
Pretty cool, though.
Hopefully we didn't open a portal. And if we did, may it just be good ghost. Yay. So what's up, Anne?
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you a ghost story today.
Whew.
Yeah, so we're going to like leave that for another time.
Let's close the portal.
Yeah, close it. Stomp on it. Okay, so I brought a prop this week.
Oh, did you?
I did. Do you see how beautiful it is?
It is pretty.
Yeah. So, Vanessa, as we all found out with the Icelandic Cinderella story, we know that you are a lover of Disney. I am not.
Guilty.
Yeah, I am not. I didn't really grow up with much of Disney. But I have to ask, what were your favorite fairy tales that you were told growing up, Vanessa? Was it only by Disney or was it by your parents? What stories, like...
No,
rung true for you.
I feel like it's mainly Disney. I mean, not all of them are fairy tales with Disney. Like a lot of it's like, you know, the Fox and the Hound and stuff like that. Like Disney just always kind of really captured my heart. I would say as a child, my favorite was Ariel because she was like the singing like mermaid and like gorgeous. And like we've already talked about like in one of your episodes when you asked like if I could be like any like magical creature, I was like mermaid, duh. Mm-hmm. But actually I found this out like maybe 5 years ago. Yes, I still watch Disney. Still happens. I love Beauty and the Beast. And that's my favorite fairy tale.
Okay. Who's your favorite character in Beauty and the Beast? Do I have to even ask? I guess I shouldn't even ask.
No,
it's Belle.
No, it's not. It's actually not.
Who?
It's the French candlestick. I love him so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pierre? What is his name?
Oh,
I don't
man.
Even know.
I don't even know his name, but I fucking love him.
Okay.
He's always like flirting with, oh man, I'm not even going to do it. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend anyone, but he's always like flirting with like the duster girl. He's just the cutest. I love him.
Okay. Well, I don't have a Beauty and the Beast story for you today.
That's okay.
But I do have a kind of Disney-ish inspired. I don't know if Disney's actually made this. Maybe you can help me out here and tell me. But one story that I grew up like learning and hearing about and still haunts me to this day is Rumpelstiltskin. Have you heard of that one?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's Disney.
Maybe. I'll tell you when the story's over.
Okay. I'll check back in.
Jog my memory.
All right. So it's a story that originates from Germany, and it's written by the Brothers Grimm, circa 1812.
Okay.
You've heard of the Brothers Grimm, right?
Yeah, that's like a thing.
I think they even made a TV show about Grimm Brothers or something like that.
Yeah, like Red Riding Hood and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So, well, did you actually know that Iceland has its own version of the Rumpelstiltskin story?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
And it actually involves a troll woman.
Okay.
And somehow this crazy story haunts me more than the actual Rumpelstiltskin story. So are you ready to go down this road with me today, Vanessa?
Always.
So the legend begins under our famed subglacial volcano, Eyjafjallajökull. Right? If I say it fast enough, it sounds great, right?
I know. I love how you do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's on a farm at Eyjafjall, which translates to island mountains. If you've driven Route 1 in South Iceland, you've driven actually past where the farm once was, because this area is the mountain range that is between Seljalandsfoss and Skógafoss waterfalls. And to jot your memories, folks, Seljalandsfoss is the waterfall that you can walk behind, and Skógafoss is the big wide waterfall that you can hike to the top of. It's also the start of Fimmerhaus, which is the iconic hiking like waterfall hike that you walk through 27 waterfalls and in between two volcanoes and two glaciers and all kinds of shit. And Skógafoss was actually also featured as the Himalayas in the Walter Mitty movie. Not really the Himalayas, it was actually Skógafoss. Fun fact, the region's claim to fame is being one of the windiest places in Iceland, and I can seriously vouch for it. Some think that they actually have their own microclimate there due to the fact that the glacier is above and how the wind comes off of the mountains so aggressively because they're super steep mountains. The glacier sits above. And during storms, this is often one of the very first places in the south that close. It's usually from like Seljalandsfoss to like Vik. That section is just fucking nuts with weather.
Yeah, like even driving there sometimes, I'm like, whoa, I have to hold the steering wheel like tight because like my little Yaris just like sails.
Specifically, there is a farm there called Kramir. It's like H-V-A-M-M-A-R.
Okay.
Is that how I say it?
Yeah, I think so.
So Kramir is like one of the like windiest places in the south. And this stretch is actually, as I said, between Seljalandsfoss and Skógafoss. So it's pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I would want to live there. So at Eyjafjall, there is a young farmer who is known for his unwavering dedication and tireless work ethic. He prided himself on how many sheep he had and the farm that he had kept. In fact, you actually might remember that in these early days of Iceland, this is how you showed your wealth and prestige as a man. Because we learned in our previous episode, number 8, about the Laki volcano and the fire priest, right? That was like the thing, you know, that's how people thought you were wealthy and prestigious and amazing within the community. His flock of sheep thrived under his care, and his farm overflowed with wealth because of this. And the young farmer seemed to have it all. But then he decided to marry a woman from the nearby farm. Being a newlywed was super exciting to him. After all, in this day and age, being married meant that the man toiled outside along the farm and all the things, but the woman handled all the affairs inside, but then still helped as needed on the farm as well. And however, this hardworking farmer found himself joined to a wife who, though was beautiful, lacked initiative and wit. So it's kind of a way to say that she was dumb. And let's be honest, she was basically a lazy girl. She always seemed to be disinterested in managing the house and showed little regard for the farm or anything that the farmer was doing outside. This troubled the farmer greatly because he felt like he had a little bit of a bait and switch going on. You know, she pretended to be someone in their early days of dating and, you know, courting. And then as soon as he got married to her, she switches, promises him all these things and all of that. But he found himself powerless to change her lazy ways. And as the fall months pushed to winter, the young farmer gathered an abundant wool supply, because remember, his sheep are happy. This is when we're shearing them. And he expected his new wife to tend to it throughout the cold months ahead. That way, she can make it into yarn to sell or clothing to wear, and maybe even the sheepskin that I currently have laying here on this desk, right?
Is from her?
No, I'm just saying, like, that was like a form of, like, you know, if you slaughter the sheep, then you take its skin and that turns into a rug, or that could turn into a coat.
It's like, wow.
But then they're also like shearing the, like, you know, to turn it into yarn and to make it into that beautiful, like, Icelandic sweater that you're wearing today, for example, right? So just so everyone out there knows what this process looked like in order to kind of like process the wool, she would have needed to wash the wool, dry it, comb it, and then spin it into yarn. After all, what else would keep her busy during those dark months in Iceland, right? You're inside, you're indoors, the sheep are indoors. So really the only management you're doing outside is like feeding your sheep at that time. You're not toiling the land at that time because it's all covered in snow. Mm-hmm. However, she only reluctantly agrees to appease him in that moment. Days go by and she makes absolutely no effort to process the wool as promised. The farmer's complaints each day fall upon deaf ears as the days grew shorter and colder. Vanessa, do you know how they would wash the wool back then?
Okay, if I had to guess, I would think it was kind of like how they used to make champagne. They put it in a barrel and then use their feet.
Seriously, no. I think that's wine.
Well, champagne's done that way too.
Yeah, but champagne now, they use a press.
Well, now, but not back then.
Okay, true. Smash the grape.
Am I right or no?
Yeah, no. So picture this in a pot with 70% water and the rest would be cow piss.
What? No way.
And you had to be careful to not overheat the wool, as the oil or the fat would disappear from it. And it's the fat in the wool that makes it warm and water resistant. So if you overheated it, you would basically ruin it.
Okay, that makes sense. Because have you ever put a wool sweater in a wash, in a dryer?
Yeah, I've like shrunk it. It's like turned into like Barbie size.
Yeah, and even in like, even if you don't put it in the dryer and just put it in the washing machine and then put it on too hot, that happens too. Like Barbie side, like it's like, say love you sweater. Thank you for the time you gave me.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. So then one day the young farmer gives his lazy wife an ultimatum that she has to process the wool by the first day of summer, which by the Icelandic calendar is between the 19th and 25th of April. He says that if she doesn't do this, she will have to live in the barn with the animals.
Yikes.
Uh-huh. And this scared the lazy wife because he had never been so harsh with her or serious with her before. So this ultimatum made her cry. And the lazy girl kept crying loudly for days.
Get over yourself.
Mm-hmm. Saying she would never get it done in time as it was already February. Uh-huh. She's wasted all that time. She could have started in like October, right? Maybe even sooner back then. The winters were even longer and harsher. But then a mysterious old woman appeared before the farmer's wife, knocking at the door.
Okay, I like where this is going.
The girl was so daft that she did not realize by the woman's size, features, and mannerisms that she was a troll woman. She asked why the girl was crying and seemed so upset. So the farmer's wife, the lazy girl, told her everything. And the troll woman grinned in delight as she listened to the story. And intrigued, she then offers her assistance in processing the wool for a favor in exchange for her assistance. Without hesitation or knowing what the favor was in exchange for, the wife handed over the sizable bag of wool to the troll woman, no questions asked.
What?
But then the woman, the troll woman, promised to return on the first day of summer with the processed wool to fulfill her end of the bargain. In return, she asked only that the lazy wife guess her first name. And if the wife couldn't guess it within three tries, which is quite generous in my opinion, she would have to become her slave. You're giving me this look of like,
These women never learn in these stories. It's a little like we've talked about in one of our stories how like kids haven't evolved, but like women thankfully have evolved. High five.
Yes. Bluetooth. Yes. So the plan sounds simple enough, right? Like, would you have taken the old woman up on her offer?
I mean, considering I don't know how to process wool, probably, but I would be like, yo, what do I have to give you? Like, I wouldn't just like shake her hand and make the deal. Like, I'd need to know what like I would have to, you know.
Okay.
And then from then I would decide.
But like, you don't, or you, she says that to you. Would you take it? Knowing what you know right now.
Yeah, but then while she like processes my wool for me, I would like try to figure out what her name was.
Okay.
So like, I'd be smarter about it than like lazy wife lady here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see how it unfolds then.
Okay.
So as winter continues, the farmer repeatedly questions his wife about the whereabouts of the wool as he no longer saw it in the house and was totally concerned because remember, this is also part of their livelihood. Mm-hmm. They're going to sell it or they're going to use it because in these days you need everything the sheep is going to give you, right? But the lazy wife brushed off his worries, insisting that it would be taken care of come the first day of summer. After all, remember the saying, trustworthy as a troll?
Mm-hmm.
That was in one of our episodes, right? Yeah. The Icelandic troll episode, the rock trolls, I think it was.
Right? Yeah.
And the chances were high that the troll woman would return it in time. But then again, the lazy girl was too dumb probably to realize that the old lady was a troll. So who knows what she actually thought. As the final month of winter approached, the wife grew increasingly anxious about fulfilling her promise to the mysterious old woman. You know, the promise of telling the troll her first name.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, if she didn't, she would have to leave the farm to become the troll's slave forever. So desperate for a solution, she decided to tell her husband the entire story. And realizing the gravity of the situation, the farmer warned his wife of the potential consequences of failing to guess the old woman's name correctly. He told her she better get started on thinking of what the name was or trying to find it somehow. But the young farmer loved his wife, despite her lazy tendencies, and was determined to help her secretly. So he ventures up into the mountains where it's said that trolls live and hears singing from afar. As he ventures closer, he peeks into a cave and sees an old woman who looked like a troll vigorously weaving wool and chanting a strange rhyme. It went something like this. Hi, hi, ho, ho, mistress doesn't know what my name is. Hi, hi, ho, ho, my name is Gilletroot. Ho, ho, my name is Gilletroot. Hi, hi, ho, ho. Vanessa, would you mind saying it in Icelandic for our listeners? Because I'm going to guess that it sounds way more fun and you have a way more beautiful voice than I do. So let's grace our listeners.
Dankeschön. Hi, hi, ho, ho. Hus freya veite kvaje heite. Hi, hi, ho, ho. Gilletroutje heite. Ho, ho. Gilletroutje heite. Hi, hi, ho, ho.
Bravo.
First time ever seeing that.
Great job. So listening closely, you can hear, and he knew that her name was Gilletroot. This is the first and only time I have ever heard this name. Is it not a very common name in Icelandic, Vanessa?
I know like 17 people named Gitlitrut.
Shut up.
No, I don't. I know no one named Gitlitrut. No one.
So it's like an old school name, yeah?
I think it's just a troll name.
Oh.
Yeah. But okay. It sounds like a good name to like name your horse or something.
Yeah, it does. That's a good horse name. Agreed. Okay. So after returning home, the farmer discreetly writes down the name and hides it from his wife. His wife becomes very depressed, barely getting out of bed, didn't want to cook meals, and some days wouldn't even get dressed for the day. So clearly depressed. He asks her one day if she knows the name of the old woman, and she says no, and that she will no longer be his wife, as she will now have to become the troll's slave.
So, like, guys using this against her, he's like, haha, I'm not going to stay with the animals, but I'm going to make you stress the fuck out.
I mean, this is, like, I'm not a fan of manipulation.
I like it, though. Like,
but I'm a little.
He's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job because, remember, like, he got the bait and switch.
Yeah.
So maybe this could be a transformation
point. Karma.
Yeah. Okay. She deeply regrets making the deal and would do anything to know the old woman's name. Knowing this could be the moment that the lazy wife changes for the better, he tells her to not worry and that he knows her name. He gives her the note he wrote the name of the troll on and tells her the story of how he found it. She rejoices, promising to be the best wife ever from that point forward. He tells her, though, that she must face the troll woman alone. Then, on the first day of summer, the old woman reappears at dusk. Of course, right? Because trolls can't come out during the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Her vibe now, though, is super intimidating. But as promised, she has the processed wool in her sack behind her. Aggressively, she now demands the wife guess her name immediately with no small talk, no stories. The lazy wife is now frightened and utters the first name she can think of. Is your name Gurran? The troll laughs and says, ha, 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 ha. No, girl, that is not my name. You can try again, though. The wife guesses another time. Could your name be Ausa? The troll woman laughs even harder this time and says, no! Ha, 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 ha. Now you only have one more chance, girl. If you get this wrong, you're going to be my slave forever. The wife says, I'll never be your slave. Your name is Gitlitrut, and I'm taking back my wool. She kicks her down and snatches the bag of wool. Enraged by the correct guess, the troll woman vanishes in a fit of fury, never to be seen again. Relieved and empowered by her victory, the wife underwent a transformation. No longer lazy, she took charge of her responsibilities in the house and on the farm. She even diligently tended to the wool herself from then on. Maybe a new lease on life?
Sounds like it.
So, what lesson did we learn today, Vanessa?
I'm going to go on for the rest of my life. Every time I meet a person that I find a little bit suspicious, I'm going to think that person's a troll.
Yeah. And I think that's a good life lesson shit.
Yeah. Like, I live in Iceland. Like, who knows? There might still be trolls out there. So every time I meet a new person that has like a deal that's too good to be true, I'm going to be like, you might be a troll.
But remember the name Gitlitrut, just in case.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for venturing into the dark side of Iceland with us. We hope our stories resonate with you.
Stay tuned for more Nightmare Worthy podcasts. And if you want to hear more, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. You can also find us on Instagram at Eerie Iceland and by searching Eerie Iceland on Facebook.
See you next time.